You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 494.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin. Hello.
It's Halloween week, I suppose. This is our big Halloween show, even though we don't have anything too exciting prepared for it.
All tricks, no treats.
Yeah, this is one big trick. We've got nothing, but we don't care. Are you doing anything for Halloween? I'm not.
No.
We're fine. This will sort of be a Halloween show. Maybe. We'll see. Cornflake, let's get started right now. What's going on for National Whatever Day?
A 50th birthday, Kevin. A milestone for Winona Laura Horowitz. Or really, we know her as Winona Ryder. She is turning 50 on October 29th.
Everybody loves Winona Ryder. Come on.
We sure do. From Lucas and Beetlejuice onward.
Was she in Lucas? I forgot.
She was.
I've seen Lucas, but I forgot she was even in that.
That was her big break. But one would say that Beetlejuice was her even bigger break.
Yeah, Beetlejuice and then Heathers.
Right.
Those are the big ones for me, I think.
Yeah. She was very busy during that time, because in 1990, she was in Edward Scissorhands and Mermaids.
Mermaid? I never saw Mermaids.
As big as a fan of Mermaids as I am, I've never seen it either.
Wasn't Cher in that, too?
Yes.
That's Winona Ryder, Cher. And are there actual mermaids, or was that just the name?
I don't know. All I know is the Shoop Shoop song.
I don't think there were actual mermaids in it, and I say that as someone who never saw the movie and knows nothing about it, so I could be completely wrong.
Okay, you have a 50-50 shot at being right, though.
I feel like if Cher and Winona were actually flapping around with giant fishtails, I would have seen it, you know?
Yeah, that would have been enough to grab our attention. And then, of course, Reality Bites came along in 1994, and that was the same year she was in the adaptation of Little Women. But I was just all excited about Reality Bites because that was a soundtrack that had Crowded House on it.
Yeah, so much stuff through the 90s, of course. I missed most of that stuff.
Yeah, and I didn't catch everything she did when it was current in the 90s. Like, I think I watched How to Make an American Quilt some 6 or 7 years later. And then Girl Interrupted, I still need to get around to watching. I read it, but I didn't watch it.
You're naming so much stuff that I definitely did not see.
Well, we're all talking about the things she did in the 80s and the 90s. Of course, she does have more current work we could discuss.
Well, I guess the big one currently is Stranger Things.
Yes, indeed.
And I know I've spent like 3 years screaming that you should watch Stranger Things. You have not seen it yet, have you?
I have not started.
It's Halloween. This is the perfect time for you, the last person in the world to see Stranger Things in honor of Winona's 50th. Maybe it's time.
I think it's an absolute must.
Because you're not big on super scary stuff. And there is some scary, gory monster stuff here and there throughout Stranger Things, but I think it's worth getting through that stuff.
And I survived the Umbrella Academy. I'm sure I can get through Stranger Things.
And they've done 3 seasons so far. There's a 4th on the way. So this is your big chance. You'll be ready when season 4 comes along, like sometime next year, I think.
I've learned, Kevin, to take television show tips from you.
Did I steer you wrong with the Jeffersons? Back in 1975.
The jury's still out on that, but I've got 2 words for why. I will take your word for it every time you tell me I should watch a television show, and that's Ted Lasso.
Oh, sure.
So, Stranger Things has to be next on the docket.
In honor of Winona.
Happy 50th Winona Ryder.
Now, I guess that's a little Halloween-y. That's appropriate because she's done so much Halloween sort of adjacent stuff, such as Beetlejuice.
And Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, that's right. I thought she did a Dracula thing as well.
And The Crucible.
I'm starting to get a little terrified of Winona Ryder, but that's good.
Right. Perfect for Halloween week flopcast.
Absolutely. I think the main order of business for today's show, however, is what's in the bag?
What's in the bag? Now, this is a segment I didn't expect would be back while we were still in remote broadcasting mode.
Yeah, we have not been doing a lot of what's in the bag segments on the Flapcast. And the most recent what's in the bag we've done was way back in January. And we got the movie Six Pack, the Kenny Rogers movie Six Pack on DVD was sent to us. And it was a what's in the bag.
Yeah.
And we still haven't watched it because the idea was to get together and watch Six Pack. That hasn't happened yet.
Well, yeah, there are a few things, and that's one of them, that will need to be checked off the list when we hang out in person.
That was a lovely what's in the bag that arrived by mail from Arturo. Well, this is once again what's in the bag arriving by mail. It's even more complicated this time, though.
Right, because a package came to you, and a package came to me this time.
So this was our buddy Blasted Bill, who was on the show earlier this year. Remember?
That was so much fun.
We did a special show with Bill discussing the state of Michigan.
It was so good.
Yeah, yeah. Always love talking to Bill. And yeah, Bill has sent a package to each of us. Something arrived here at Chickentown Studios, and then Bill also somehow figured out wherever in the world you've been holed up for the past year and a half. I don't even know where you are.
Well, I'll give you a tip about how he figured it out. He asked.
I would have no way of sending you something right now, even if I wanted to.
That information is available on a need-to-know basis.
I guess. So the thing is, we each have a package from Bill. It's for what's in the bag. I have not even opened this envelope at all yet, this package.
Right, and I have not opened it.
Okay, and I think whatever is inside is still sealed in a bag, because Bill was surprised that I had not opened even the outer package yet. So I'm going to do that right now, because I think we have like a bag within a bag situation here. If I get through the first layer now.
Do not open bag yet.
I have a bag also. This paper also says, do not open bag yet. Then there's a little note after that.
Once you both have your bags, then you can open the bag and enjoy.
All right, so I've got a bag, you've got a bag.
Yep.
I think it's time to find out what's in the bag simultaneously.
Oh, I know what this is.
Do you want to describe what you have, Cornflake, and see if we have a match, if I have the same thing here?
I have a book. My friend Laura has this. This came out about 10 years ago. It is a small yellow book with a confused dinosaur on the front. Book by Avery Monson and Jory John, and it's called All My Friends Are Dead.
Oh, see, I just got a rock. You got a little book? That's fantastic.
I got a book? You got a rock?
No, I actually have the exact same book also. I'm looking at a copy also. A little hardcover book. All My Friends Are Dead. I've never heard of this book. So you're familiar with this.
Oh, yes. I love this book. But I don't have a copy, or I should say I didn't have a copy of my own until Blasted Bill was so nice to send me one.
What can you tell me about this book?
It is a book that pokes fun at the circumstances of the way things are. And it's all illustrated. It's things like a tree saying, all my friends are end tables.
All right, so flipping through this, that's called All My Friends Are Dead. There's a little cartoon on each page with some sort of a character or object expressing their situation.
A sock saying, my only friend has recently gone missing.
I flipped open to the sock page at the exact same time that you did.
You get the pirate, all my friends have scurvy, yar.
There's a clown. I found a clown here saying, all my friends are terrifying. That's true. Oh, and I found a chicken.
Oh boy.
Yeah, like maybe 3/4 of the way through the book, there is a chicken who is announcing all my friends are Kentucky Fried.
Oh, no.
This is the last surviving chicken that we're looking at. Wow, so it's kind of some dark yet goofy stuff throughout these little books. That's funny that you're familiar with this.
Yes, my dear friend Laura introduced me to this book.
It says, All My Friends Are Dead is both the saddest funny book and the funniest sad book you'll ever read.
And this book, there are sequels.
Oh, really?
All My Friends Are Still Dead.
Wow.
Bill, thanks for the pick-me-up.
You know how everybody's been too happy lately? Having too much of a good time? Bill found a way to just bring it all down, you know?
Back down to earth.
Oh, what a cute little book. I like this. I like how it's kind of just like silly and cute, but then kind of dark.
It is a good mix of those things.
Very nice. Man, what a fun approach to what's in the bag, too, and that these came to both of us.
Yeah, that was a really interesting way to do it.
A double what's in the bag. Unprecedented.
I've always liked the way Bill thinks.
You know? Well, anyway, that was exhilarating. We have some serious reading ahead of us, thanks to our friend Blasted Bill and What's in the Bag.
Thank you, Blasted Bill.
Very nice. I think we're looking to keep the show relatively short today, but I've got a little bit of Halloween-themed content for you, though, Cornflake. And in fact, it's coming in the form of another classic Flopcast segment, because I have Halloween-themed chickens in the news.
And now, the Flopcast presents Chickens in the News.
A festive chickens in the news, you say?
Oh, yeah. You know what I have here? I just finished reading a book today. New book. Just came out a few weeks ago. I have here Yours Cruelly, Elvira by Cassandra Peterson. This is Elvira, Cassandra Peterson's autobiography. I just read the life story of Elvira, Cornflake.
I bet that was fascinating.
It's incredible, yes. She's had herself quite a life there. I mean, 1,000 crazy things happen to her before she becomes Elvira.
Well, you gotta figure that's not just a switch that flips someday and one day you're Elvira. You have to imagine that there's a bunch of crazy stuff that leads up to that.
Yeah, like really, the wild stories of her life are largely pre-Elvira. Things kind of settle down in the Elvira era.
That's the part I would not have expected.
Yeah, because, I mean, she'd been kicking around for a while. She was like 30, 31, I think, when the character of Elvira was created. So she'd been around for quite a while before that. And I knew a bit about Cassandra, but not too much. I've seen her speak in person a couple of times, and she's very funny, and she's a great speaker. And I met her. I met her in character. She was suited up as Elvira, which was just bizarre, you know, because that's like meeting a cartoon character pops off your TV screen. You know, that's like meeting Fred Flintstone, you know.
Yeah, it kind of makes your head explode just a little bit.
Yeah, just amazing. Because she still does suit up and does Elvira. I believe she just turned 70.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And is still at it. Still looks the same.
She's very well preserved.
But yeah, she had been, I mean, she had a crazy family life. And then professionally, she was a dancer and then a singer and then got into comedy and acting. And she was plugging away at that for, you know, a decade and a half before Elvira came along. And yeah, this book is just bursting with crazy stories of her past. And she names names. Like, she's had all sorts of encounters of all types that you can imagine with a lot of very well-known people. Quite a pile of names in this book, yeah, that she just dishes out. She's like, yep, then I met this guy and this happened. And it's, what? Wow.
Scandalous.
And again, that's all before Elvira even comes along. And Elvira started in like 1981, I think. Local Los Angeles station decided to revive the horror host format for showing their old movies. And then very, very quickly, she just became an icon, of course, and exploded nationally. And here we are today. The reason I'm bringing up Elvira now, well, for one thing, we should bring up Elvira, right? Who doesn't love Elvira?
And who doesn't love Elvira on a Halloween episode?
'Tis the season for Elvira. This is her busy season, of course. But in the middle of Elvira's book, and this is well into her time as Elvira, she was driving, and this is somewhere in the Los Angeles, Hollywood area, just driving one day, and a chicken was in the road, and she stopped and followed the chicken. This chicken disappeared through like some tall shrubs and she crawled through just this.
She's crawling around after a chicken.
Yeah. Crawled after the chicken and then came out in front of this giant old mansion, which she'd driven by a million times and never really noticed it was there. Big old Hollywood mansion. And it was for sale. And she ended up buying the place.
With the chicken as a realtor?
The chicken sold her the house. Yes. But it turns out that this place just had chickens just wandering the property. It was a giant patch of land. And there were chickens and ducks and a couple of turkeys who all just lived there and just wandered around all the time. And they came with the place. Like, she bought the house and also inherited all the chickens and ducks and turkeys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, chickens were part of the deal. And she also mentioned that there were, like, I don't know, a couple dozen chickens, I think, including three roosters. So the roosters would crow, of course, at dawn.
Yes, as they are wont to do.
There was also, like, a curve in the road where at night the headlights would appear. So every time a car went by at night and the rooster saw the headlights, they would also crow. So
wonderful.
So every night throughout the night, yes, car goes by, the roosters all start screaming again right outside their window.
And that's what I call living. That's
how it should be. Yes. You know, it's Elvira living in an old mansion. I want screaming chickens also. She also mentioned that the house was haunted. Now, here's where Elvira and I part ways. I don't think the house is haunted.
Right.
She thinks it was haunted, and she has some stories about, you know, seeing weird stuff in the house. I do believe the chickens were real, though.
Do you suppose the haunting she's experiencing is actually just chickens playing tricks on her?
It might have been a chicken wearing a bedsheet. Yeah.
I'd say it's about 100% more likely than ghosts.
Oh, absolutely. Chicken wearing a bedsheet, way more likely than an actual ghost. Yeah, I picture like a bunch of chickens and they're all dressed up like the Charlie Brown kids.
One of the ghost costumes has too many holes.
Yes, yes. One chicken pecked way too many eye holes out of their bedsheet.
One of the chickens under the ghost costume has all these waves of dirt coming off of it.
Yes. One chicken just took a dirt bath, as they call it. That's what chickens do.
Right. That's how they keep clean. Dirt bath.
They flap around in the dirt. They take a dirt bath, and that's how they stay clean. I think that just proves how stupid chickens are. But it worked in this case for the pig pen style ghost for Halloween, which they used to fool Elvira.
Hey, one of those chickens is really smart. They got Elvira to buy the house.
It worked.
It yes, worked like a chicken charm.
They said, hey, one of us, go out to the road, wait for Elvira to drive by.
And then crawl under a shrub. I bet she'll follow me.
Get her in here. She will love our giant chicken house. And it worked. She lived in that house for many, many years and then eventually sold the house to Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt, huh?
And that's the least weird thing that happens in this book. It's a crazy book. I just finished it right before we started recording tonight, but I do highly recommend it. It's called Yours Cruelly, Elvira, and man, it's a fascinating life. And she just announced, this is kind of the finale of the book, but it's also, it was in the news. It's not a spoiler, but her partner for the last 20 years has been a woman, and she kept that secret all this time.
Yeah, this is the first time hearing this.
Yeah, she just went public with this, you know, long-term relationship of hers, which is great. You know, good for her. And it's this very sweet ending to the book. I think she was reluctant to come out like that because of her Elvira persona. You know, Elvira's like guy crazy, man crazy Elvira.
Yeah.
Part of her shtick. But Cassandra, yeah, has been in this long-term relationship. I think it made people happy to hear that. But super cool lady, of course. We love Cassandra Peterson. Do check out this book. I recommend it. And that's your Halloween chickens in the news. Because chickens sold a house to Elvira, evidently.
That is so awesome. So very fitting.
Oh, and I have a bonus Halloween chickens in the news.
A bonus one?
Yeah, I've got one
well,
more
see,
thing.
Well, see, we were saying all tricks. That really is a treat.
Here's one more. This isn't really news, although it was news to me because I just learned of this a few days ago. This was in like an email newsletter from the Retroist podcast, which I receive, and he was writing about candy corn, the history of candy corn. Do you like candy corn? Because nothing divides this nation like candy corn. People love it or they hate it.
I never knew there was such controversy over candy corn. I realize it now and it kind of stuns me. I think it's a nice treat.
You like it?
I like it. I do.
I do too.
We're usually on the same page about these sorts of things, though.
Now, that said, you got to be careful. If you're me, you have to be careful because a lot of that stuff has gelatin in it.
Oh.
Just like Count Chocula and Booberry, they try to ruin candy corn by pumping it full of gelatin, and then I can't eat it because I'm trying not to eat meat. Turns out candy corn is made of meat in some cases, so...
Only some. I'm pretty sure you can get candy corn that is not gelatin-based.
Yeah, you can. So read the ingredients, kids. Anyway, so I was reading about candy corn this week, because that's what it's come to. And what I learned, candy corn goes back to the 1880s, and its original name was chicken feed.
The candy was named chicken feed?
Yeah.
I'm stunned. I don't even know what to say to that. Did they seriously feed all the candy corn to chickens?
I suppose people may have been buying it accidentally and feeding it to chickens, yeah. Elvira's yard is just littered in candy corn.
Wow. Can you imagine the chickens hopped up on candy corn? Because that's what I'm trying to imagine right now.
They love it. I'm sure they absolutely love it. That's all I have anyway. Just a quick little bonus chickens in the news. Candy corn, actually called originally chicken feed. There you go.
That's fascinating. I had no idea. I would have never been able to guess.
I don't know if I'd go so far as calling it fascinating, but it's something for our purposes.
Well, it's fascinating to the likes of me.
Yeah, yeah. You and I, who obsess over chickens in the news, this is all we have. But it's Halloween, and here we are. I think we can keep this show nice and short, Cornflake, and let's go ahead and wrap this thing up.
Okay. Well, we want people to know where they can find our show between episodes, and that's on the internet. We are at flopcast.net. We're on facebook.com/flopcast. On Twitter, our handle is @flopcast, and on Instagram, we are @_flopcast. You can go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating or a review or both. Both is good. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness Foundation was the subject of a scandalous tell-all book, not unlike Cassandra Peterson's book. The name of the book, I recommend you look it up. It's called All My Sponges Are Dead. Cornflake, thanks for a fantastic Halloween edition of the Flopcast. We did it. Enjoy your weird holiday, everybody. And remember, please be safe, be kind, be silly, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Tired of the same old movie podcasts?
Yeah.
What if I told you there's a podcast that gabs about good and bad movies?
Why are you spreading such lies?
It's true, you rascal. Every week, Double Edge Double Bill mixes that scrumptious taste of good movies with the sour flavor of a bad one.
That sounds tasty.
Well, don't delay. Stuff it down your ear throats today. Double Edge Double Bill is part of the Balance ESO Network Breakfast. It can be found wherever you download podcasts.
Welcome to Dr. Geek's Laboratory.
Dr. Geek here with another reminder that the ESO Network is pro-science and pro-vaccine. We urge you to be a superhero and protect yourself, your family, and your fellow geeks around the world. Don't be fooled by the forces of evil and their anti-science misinformation campaign. Consult the latest CDC guidelines, your doctor, and get the COVID vaccine today.
Oh, hello, Cornflake?
Yes, hi.
You know what I omitted from the main part of the show?
What?
The bag that I got from Blasted Bill.
Uh-huh.
Contained a separate tiny bag, which I have right here.
What?
And it's labeled Secret After Show.
You have a secret after bag?
I have a little tiny secret after bag here. I'm going to open this right now. This is a little tiny plastic bag with, it looks like, just a little slip of paper in here that says Secret After Show. I'm unfolding it. It says, there is a sequel called All My Friends Are Still Dead. Thank you. You were one step ahead of Blasted Bill on this one.
Oh, no.
I think we may have spoiled the Secret After Show during the main show.
I spoiled the secret. Sorry, Bill.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.